The second scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 9. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." Keith?
Thank you. Jackie DeShannon, who's one of my favorite pop singers from the 70s and 80s, says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And there's no argument with that. But having studied temperance a little bit this past week, I would say what the world needs now is temperance. The definition of the word temperance is moderation or voluntary restraint. Not something that which I'm very good at, but have had opportunities to exercise it a number of times, and sometimes take advantage, sometimes not. Whenever I hear words from Isaiah 58, I think of Byron Brenneman, who was raised in Iowa, married a girl from New York City by the name of Karen Bender. That'd be Martin and Ethel Bender's daughter. And they ministered on the streets of the Bronx. Jerome Avenue is where their church was, and it's still there. And members, other members of the family are still ministering there. And Byron was often a speaker at Beaver Camp when Connie and I were on staff there, and he had a way of just making the gospel come alive, and campers would actually rush to be the first to get to campfire so they could sit up close to Byron to hear him speak. He's very dynamic. And Isaiah 58 was a topic and a chapter that he quoted from often, and as you heard these words about justice and healing and the glory of the Lord being the rear guard and sharing with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your house. This is what they did on the streets of New York. And this is what he felt we should be doing. And so he would preach and teach that at camp. And part of that was the acknowledgement that sometimes it meant that you wouldn't have as much as you normally thought you should have if you were going to be sharing it with some other people. It was difficult to prepare for this part of the service this morning, not because I had trouble thinking of what to say about temperance, but I had trouble trimming it down. There is so much that can be said about this topic. So I have decided to put this into just two particular sections. By the way, as long as we're confessing things that we didn't do right, like Connie did last Sunday, 2 weeks ago I made a mistake. Abraham and Lot were not brothers. Abraham and Lot were uncle and nephew, as far as I can tell. And I actually preached on their uncle and nephew relationship a couple years ago, but apparently forgot that, because didn't I go and say what a lot of us have said, that they were brothers? Okay, now that we got that out of the way, that's my temperance being humble this morning to let you know that that was the one mistake that I've made in the 11 years that I've been here preaching. So better tell you about that. Temperance is something that, when we don't practice it, sometimes we can embarrass ourselves. Now, showing moderation or voluntary restraint isn't always a good idea. If we're all in for Christ, and if we're committed to the way of Christ, doing that just moderately isn't really the right thing to do. You want to go for it. If you're an athlete, a professional athlete, you don't go onto the football field and say, "I'm going to practice just a little bit of restraint today." Where you could practice restraint is in your celebration, if you do well. Walter Payton, I believe it was, had a habit of, after he scored a touchdown, he would simply take the football and hand it to the official and trot off the field. Other players high-five and spike the ball and have these choreographed things where they jump up in the air and whack their hindquarters against each other and do all kinds of things. Walter Payton said, "I wanted to make it look like I've been there before. Scoring a touchdown for me was no big deal. I do it a lot. And so I just hand the ball to the official and trot off," which in itself is not really moderation, but people appreciated that display. There was a race car driver that could have used this yesterday. He crossed the finish line first and then did what I think is still one of the dumbest things, and I'm tired of seeing it, but they do these burnouts in Victory Lane and spin the car in a circle. That was fun the first time. After about 300 times of that, even the race fans that I know are saying, this is enough. We don't need to see any more of this. And in his case, he should have shown some restraint, because little did he know he was being penalized for an illegal move he made on the last lap, and he was not the winner of the race after all. So all of this celebrating, and now he looked a little foolish. So practicing restraint can be a good idea. And Connie has already talked about the power of enough. And that's something that I struggle with. I was right here is my Mennonite Retirement Trust, which is now Empower Retirement. This is our retirement account. The church here pays 10% into this account for us, which is generous. Thank you for that. There's a lot of places that would not pay that much. So when I look at the bottom line of this, is this enough? Is this going to be enough for us to retire? And I can honestly tell you right now that if I keep up with the lifestyle which we've been living these past few years, it's not enough. I need more than that. How can I get more into my retirement account? On the other hand, if we would simplify a bit and cut back, it would easily be enough. So a lot of this is a matter of attitude. Sometimes we are simply bumping up against the incessant desire to accumulate more. Speaking of those MCC kits that Connie was mentioning, I remember a story that was brought to us, and I think it was here. No, it wasn't here. It was in a different church. Anyway, we had a speaker from MCC, and he told a story about they handed this kit to a youngster in a third world country, and the first thing he did was to take the pencils and broke them all in half. Why did you do that? Why did you break this stuff in half? And he said, if I do that, I can use half of it for now, the other half for later. This pencil will last longer. There's a whole different outlook on that. We went out Friday night for dinner, Connie and I did. We haven't eaten out in quite a while, and we hadn't eaten much that day either. So we were both, had a pretty good appetite. We picked a nice restaurant. I suppose I could have said I was starving, but in my life, I have never been starving. That's just a term that we use. However, I have been quite hungry, and Friday night was one of those nights. So we ordered up a couple extra appetizers in addition to the bread and butter that was already a part of the meal. And I discovered, thinking about gluttony, how much I was doing that. It was becoming a habit to start in on one appetizer and eat it as fast as I could because the other one was waiting there and I wanted to get this one done before this one got cold. And if this one got cold, it wasn't going to be good. And then I had the bread over there to do yet. And so I was going at it and I realized I'm being a real glutton right now. And it was just natural that it happened. And it was something how that got planted in my head. Just prior to that, we had gone to the Agape shop where Connie got that orange, gaudy thing. What Mennonite church would allow her to wear that these days? By the way, notice I'm on orange. This is a coincidence, by the way, that my sermon is on an orange piece of paper. That just happened to be the scrap paper on the pile. They have fair trade coffee there. We've talked about that here, that when you purchase that product, more of the money you spend for that goes to the actual farmer who grew the product. However, it costs more. We were noticing as we got in the car, man, this is about three times what coffee on sale at Tops cost. However, part of being temperate is to maybe shell out a little bit more for something that gives more justice to the person that actually does the growing. We can be just as gluttonous in our spending by refusing to spend something that would actually benefit somebody else. That's a form of gluttony in a reverse way. Well, not only was it not enough to have this big meal in front of us, which was very good, but on the way home, we were driving past the Burrville Donut Place. I can't drive past there. We don't get up this way that often. So we had to stop in. I had to stop in and get a dozen of the sugar and cinnamon donuts. Now, there were two batches of these things behind the glass. There was one plastic box full and another plastic box full, and the one clearly had more cinnamon and sugar on it than the other one did. Somebody different had made each batch, I guess. So I ordered a dozen, and the gal started taking the donuts out of the wrong one, the one with only about half as much sugar on it. It was all I could do to not say, take them out of the other one, would you? Now, I could have said that, and she'd have done it. I was thinking, maybe this is the temperance that I can practice. Let her give me whatever she wants. It's decadent either way. And you know what? On the way home, I ate three of them, I think. And they were good. They were very good. I could have used a little more cinnamon sugar, but what I had was enough. And by the way, I had three again this morning before coming to church. The idea was, I'll eat these now, but I'll cut back for lunch. Well, that's before I knew there was a pizza party for the Bible school helpers. So I got a problem. You see how easy it is in our society to not say this is enough. That's a challenge for all of us. When we do decide that we've had enough, we can relax and be satisfied. And sometimes our tension with facing the future is our failure to admit that we have enough. The other area of temperance that, in addition to enough, is the idea of control. Temperance is actually voluntarily giving up control. This is hard to do, especially if you're in politics. We have so many extremes right now, and sometimes I think the position that we take that's extreme is because we want to maintain control. As I watch newscasts on television, which is pretty rare, but I sit at, by the way, I sit at McDonald's every Tuesday morning. I don't know if this is a temperate thing to do or not, but I go down there Tuesday mornings, and if anybody wants to stop in and talk, that's a good place to do it. That's in your bulletin. And right now, there's a newscast on TV up in the eating area that didn't used to be there, and I noticed that there's a lot of yelling that goes on newscasts these days. And somebody yells about their position here, and another one will yell about their position there, and I was getting a headache just sitting there. I would have welcomed one of you to come in and just calm me down a little bit. That same thing happens with sports telecasts. It's like sports are the end of the world, and they have these arguments sitting around the table on how the game is going, and it just gets a little bit beyond. And maybe being temperate, even if it's something that we're truly emotional about and committed to, maybe being temperate is to acknowledge that we're actually committed to a higher power than this. And this particular topic maybe isn't all that important. Connie is up for ordination here in this church. That's a new thing for the Mennonite church in the last few years. Someone approached us last Sunday, and I appreciated this. They were very honest, said, I just don't know where I'm at with women in leadership in the church. I'm still weighing all this. But in this situation, I'm not going to stand in the way of anything that would help you toward your ordination. I appreciate that, but I just don't know where I'm at. And I saw that as a temperate approach, and I appreciated it. The ability to give up a little bit of control to the perhaps the larger will of the congregation. Sometimes I think that is what gluttony is, the insistence on maintaining control and making everything black and white, which, I left one of my books down here, which is leading me to wade into this next topic with a little bit of skittishness, but I think it's a good example of where temperance can be helpful. And I'm going to close with this because this is the thing I want you to be thinking about. The Mennonite Confession of Faith, it's in our library. Article 19 is on family, singleness, and marriage. The very first sentence, we believe that God intends human life to begin in families and to be blessed through families. If you're single, I'm not sure how that makes you feel. However, the very next sentence says, even more, God desires all people to become part of the church. Those two sentences right there already kind of clash with each other, don't they? If you go down to the third paragraph, this is the official position of Mennonite Church USA on marriage and family, and therefore our congregation as part of the denomination Mennonite Church USA, this is also our official position. We believe that God intends marriage to be a covenant between one man and one woman for life. Christian marriage is a mutual relationship in Christ, a covenant made in the context of the church, and according to Scripture, right sexual union takes place only within the marriage relationship. Marriage is meant for sexual intimacy, companionship, and the birth and nurture of children. That's one paragraph in the Confession of Faith. That's our official position, in case some of you wonder, just what does he believe anyway? However, what happens when someone comes into the church and maybe they're outside those lines a little bit. Now what do we do? This is where temperance comes in. We can slam the door shut and say, you're not welcome here. You're not living according to this confession of faith. Or we can open the door and remain in relationship and take, and now I've closed this, and but that first sentence that was part of that article, God desires all people to become part of the church. Depending on the position we take with that, some extreme other positions outside the church might be taken. For instance, we have been known in this congregation to practice temperance in some of our views, or as Mennonite Church USA is attempting to do now, forbearance. Let's at least talk about things. Let's not just draw lines in the sand. For some, that's not acceptable. We need to draw a line and draw it now. And there are congregations that are leaving if they perceive that someone has stepped over the line. We have not been one of those congregations. We've been a little more temperate. Because of that, there are probably some people in the community who do not see us as being faithful to the original call the way we should be. And some extreme positions have been taken. Particularly the one that got back to me that if you are part of the LGBTQ community and you want to get married, go to Louisville Mennonite Church because they'll do it for you. That's not true. In fact, our district minister, who grew up in this congregation, Terry Zare, has asked us as pastors, if you wish to perform this kind of ceremony, please restrain yourself if you can, or at least talk to me about it first. Let's be reasonable here. So I feel like that is not something that I would want to do or could do, but somehow the word got out that we would do it, which is not true. Why does that happen? Sometimes when you practice temperance and you don't take a firm position, it can be discerned that you're way to one side. And I am well aware of what some folks are saying about Louisville Mennonite Church and the community, which, by the way, has brought both positive and negative response. So I wanted to at least read this as the official position in case you're wondering. But if you also are being confronted by some other people in the community who would be asking you, how can you go to a church like that takes such a moderate position on some of the important social issues of the day? I suggest this as an answer. This is a congregation that practices temperance. And what the world needs now is temperance. I hope you find that helpful.